by Mendelssohn, Beethoven and Ginastera. That's here on BBC Radio 3. We're on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and also online. The time now is 1 o'clock. Time for the news with David Cornett.
Police in Northern Ireland say a bomb which was left in a van under the main Belfast to Dublin road weighed 500 pounds. The device, which was in the vehicle at an underpass near Newry, was made safe last night. A police spokesman said the explosives could have been destined for a town centre in Northern Ireland. A week ago, a Catholic police officer, Ronan Kerr, was killed when a bomb blew up under his car as he prepared to go to work in Omagh. That attack and the bomb found in the van are being blamed on dissident Republicans. A Royal Navy serviceman is being questioned by police investigating the shooting of two officers on the nuclear submarine HMS Astute. Lieutenant Commander Ian Molyneux, a weapons engineer, was killed and a lieutenant commander was wounded yesterday. Almost a year after being wounded by a roadside bomb in Afghanistan, a British soldier has died at his home in Scotland. Colour Sergeant Alan Cameron, who was 42 and from 1st Battalion Scots Guards, was injured while on foot patrol in Helmand Province in April last year. He died at home in Livingston. He was 42. BBC News has learnt that a report on the future of the banking industry will recommend that a protective barrier be established within big banks to ensure that key operations can't be damaged by higher risk investment activities. The idea is to safeguard the savings of ordinary depositors and business lending. The proposals from the Independent Banking Commission will be announced on Monday. The owner of the News of the World remains under pressure from public figures who were affected by the phone hacking scandal after its apology and admission of liability. News International admitted that there were at least 8 victims and has set up a £20 million fund to deal with what it described as reasonable claims for compensation. A government spokesman said the decision over News Corporation's bid to take over BSkyB would not be influenced by the controversy. And the weather, it'll remain sunny and warm in most places this afternoon. Tomorrow it'll continue to be warm and dry in most areas, but western parts of Northern Ireland and Scotland will be cloudier and cooler with some light rain in the afternoon. BBC News and weather at approaching 3 minutes past one.
And that was David Cornett. And here's Catherine Bott now to explore times past in today's Early Music Show.
The woman who has never seen you and who loves you faithfully with all her heart, makes you this present. Say she sees nothing to her liking because she cannot see you often. The woman who has never seen you and who loves you faithfully, but because of the good that all the world in unison says of you, you have with virtue conquered her. The woman who has never seen you and who loves you faithfully, with all her heart, makes you this present.
Woman so very beautiful, nothing cheers me, affords me peace or relief from pain, save you, whose I loyally remain. Since your beauty, that grows lovelier each day, I do not look upon, nor your noble form. Woman so very beautiful, nothing cheers me, affords me peace or relief from pain, and your sweetness, which soothes my ills and sweetly heals them, truly is too far distant. Woman so very beautiful, nothing cheers me, affords me peace or relief from pain, save you, whose I loyally remain.
Music by the French poet and composer Guillaume de Machaut, overlaid by the words of a 14th century love story in letters, made accessible to us by translation into English. A romantic tale, not straying far from all the conventions of courtly love, but revealingly, it's not the usual man putting distant beloved on pedestal. In this case, the lady feels the same about him. Who are these two? Listen on, and you'll find out. When Guillaume de Machaut died in 1377, he was mourned throughout musical and literary Europe. Musicians, poets, all you with sweet voices or who sing with instruments, wear mourning now and weep. Machaut, the noble poet, is dead. During his lifetime, his extraordinary talent had enabled him to move between music and poetry, between the religious life and royal courts. And fortunately for us, he spent his last few years supervising the copying of his complete works into gorgeous manuscripts. Something else that occupied him in his later years was a long correspondence with a very young female fan, Péronne d'Armentières, and it was this that he mined for the romantic tale now regarded by many scholars as his finest work, Le Livre du Voir Dit, The Book of the True Story. It's a verse narrative studied with letters and lyrical poems, some set to music. Here's the framework. A mature poet, whom Guillaume de Machaut calls Guillaume, is feeling jaded and unloved when he receives a fan letter from a much younger woman, Péronne, who loves his music. This cheers him up so much that he puts quill to parchment to write a song about how miserable he used to feel before he heard from her. Weep for me, ladies, dress in black. Oxford Camerata, conducted by Jeremy Summerlee, with the ballade Pleurer d'âme, the first musical piece in Guillaume de Machaut's autobiographical poem, The Book of the True Story. And as Guillaume writes to Perron, I'm sending you a ballade about the sad state I've been in. Do learn the song. It's not difficult, and I'm very pleased with it. In the musical episodes of the book, Machaut displays his command of three of the standard lyrical forms of his day, the rondeau, the ballade, and the lay. To render this poetic achievement into cold, hard statistics, it adds up to 9,094 lines of verse arranged in octosyllabic rhyming couplets. And although it's pleasing to think of it as an epistolary romance based on a true story, Machaut muddies the waters and doesn't place the actual letters in chronological order. Never mind, Guillaume is enjoying every word from the young woman he refers to throughout as his toute belle, all beautiful.
You've no need to lament, sweet darling, or fear, or be dismayed. For I'll relieve your pains through good loving and with sweet words when I see you.
And Guillaume can't wait. He sends Perron another ballade, composed from joyous and agreeable feelings, and urges her to get to know it just as it was made.
Thank you.
Just as no one can number the stars as they shine, so no one can begin to imagine my overwhelming desire to see you. The Orlando consort, singing of Guillaume's ardour in the ballad Ne Comporé. Poet and fan do meet. The actual first encounter between Machaut and Péron d'Armentières may have taken place in May 1363, and in the story, Guillaume claims to have written the next piece we'll hear on his way home. This is a bit naughty of him. Sans cœur dolence comes from about 13 years earlier, but it does have some fitting words, so why not recycle? Without heart, sorrowing I leave you, joyless until my return.
Thank you.
Oxford Camerata, conducted by Jeremy Summerlee, with a rondo from Machaut's Book of the True Story, apparently inspired by poet Guillaume's first meeting with his all-beautiful one, but actually dug out from an earlier era in his love life. Guillaume and Perron meet again, and again. At some point they share a room with her companion Guillemette as gooseberry. This sends Guillaume off into flights of poetic fancy, and he declares that on his way home after this latest tryst, he was kidnapped by Lady Hope. Cue the most substantial musical piece in the book. Machaut was the master of polyphonic writing, of exquisite harmonies and interweaving melodies. The Lay of Good Hope is the only monophonic piece in the whole work. The lay is an extended song with each section in a different form, requiring different tunes. Few lays have survived, but their very scale and through-composed intricacy makes them what Grove's Dictionary calls the major showpieces of medieval lyric poetry. There's nothing unexpected about the sentiments of the Lay of Good Hope. Guillaume begins by saying, "I've held back from writing lays because I've been bereft of love. But now I've been shot through the heart by a pair of piercing, sparkling eyes." But it's the sustaining of that lover's delight over more than 15 minutes that's the remarkable thing.
Quand tout regard ma cœur pleure, quand je regarde ma cœur. Son riant son rouge encore qui n'a pas paraît, et son doux accueil, voix et son coin d'appareil, simple et sans orgueil, et son fourmi blanc et vermeil, l'une fleur en moi. Très noble destinée.
son effort. Faites-lui prier très fort de passer tout que je n'ai pensé obscure. Et soir, car je fus
Machaut's Lay of Good Hope, performed by Ensemble Guillaume de Machaut de Paris. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, and a 14th century literary love story inspired by an exciting episode in the life of poet and composer Guillaume de Machaut. Or was it? His epic narrative poem with music, The Book of the True Story, does contain references to events and people of the 1360s, and Machaut casts himself in the lead male role of Guillaume. But it's only fair to point out that many scholars have questioned the authenticity of the story. Is Perron really the thinly disguised pseudonym of a real Mademoiselle from Armentières? Back to the story, and things aren't going well at this point. Since you have forgotten me, sweet friend, I say adieu to joy.
Thank you.
Oxford Camerata singing Puis qu'on oublie by Machaut, thought to be another piece that he attempted to pass off as brand new. But Perron wrote back, "I have had a rondel with music that you sent me, but I've seen it several times and know it well. I ask you, please, to send me others." Guillaume's all-beautiful one must have been delighted with some of the more inventive material in the book. This next piece, for example, from the middle of the story. Quand Theseus ne quiere veuir is a ballade with two themes, one classical, the other biblical, in which the poet says not only that he's happier and more fulfilled than those mythical heroes, Theseus, Jason and Hercules, but also that he doesn't need to see the beauty of Absalom or to watch Delilah chopping off Samson's hair. There's a forthright and catchy refrain to both texts. I see enough when I see my lady. James Bowman and Charles Brett with the Early Music Consort of London directed by David Munro in the ballade Quand Theseus ne quiere veuir. Machaut's correspondence with Perron lasted for around 3 years, and he lived on for another 10. The story of Le Livre du Voirdie has some ups and downs, but no satisfactory conclusion. It more or less peters out, with some clever anagrams interwoven into the final lines, which is sometimes what happens in real life, without the anagrams. That wordplay at the end, into which some scholars have read more than one woman's name, is an echo of a device that Machaut employs earlier in the poem, which may be a clue to the identity of Guillaume's toute belle. Perhaps he was protecting a real lady with a pseudonym. Before we play out with the music of this last piece, we'll hear an explanation of it from one of Guillaume's letters. And before that, I'll just tell you that the rondo is called, in translation, 17, 5, 13, 14 and 15, which are the numerical equivalents of the letters P-E-R-O-N, Perron.
Now it's right, I tell you, the name of my pretty lady, and the one I have, who composed this work that is called the true poem, and if you wish to hear and understand, you must look to the 9th verse from the end of this book, and afterwards the 8 letters right at the beginning of the 8th verse. You'll see our names clearly in that passage. See how I've encoded them. It pleases me well for every man to learn how without regret or lies I love my lady so fervently, that by my soul I've no desire to change her for some other woman. My lady will know it for the truth, because no other woman will ever be mine. Instead, hers I'll be until the end, and after my death, with a pure heart, my spirit will serve her. Now may God grant it perishes not, and prays so much for her, he calls her soul to glory, toute belle, all beautiful.
Thank you.
Oxford Camerata was conducted by Jeremy Summerlee in that recording of Machaut's Dix-sept-cinq, a musical setting from his epic love poem Le Voix dit. And that ends today's early music show. James Quinn was Guillaume, Erin Shanahan was Perron, and the programme was presented by Catherine Bott. The producer in Manchester was Sam Phillips. In tomorrow's early music show, Lucy Skeeping traces the history of the Passacaglia, from its origins in Iberian folk music to the great organ works by Bach. And that's at the same time, just after 1 o'clock, here on BBC Radio 3. Well, coming up in an hour, World Roots with Lucy Duran, and she'll be joined in the studio by the Brazilian singer Raf Vilar, and there'll also be reviews of new world music recordings. But now, just coming up to a minute after two, we've a second chance to hear last Monday's lunchtime concert from London's Wigmore Hall. It's introduced by Louise Fryer.
Today's recital features two young performers, the Argentinian cellist Sol Gabetta and the Latvian pianist Lauma Skrida. Both have won awards for performing and recording. Sol was just 10 when she won her first competition in Argentina. Lauma waited a little longer. She was 11. Today they're going to play D major sonatas by Beethoven and Mendelssohn, together with a rhapsody for cello inspired by the Argentinian Pampas by Alberto Ginastera. They turn first to Beethoven, who was breaking new ground when he decided to upgrade the cello from the role of mere accompanying instrument to one equal to the piano. His composition of cello sonatas is intermittent. He was 26 when he wrote his first set, returned to the form 11 years later, and then again 8 years on when he dedicated his Opus 102 set to the Countess Maria von Erdödy. Beethoven had spent the summer of 1815 at Jedlesee with the Countess and her husband, and they were joined too by Count Razumovsky's cellist Josef Linke, forced to seek sanctuary after the Count's palace had been devastated in a fire. Linke's influence seems to have inspired the composition of the sonatas. Sol Gabetta and Lauma Skrida are going to play the second of the set in D major, which Beethoven described as a free sonata, after the slow middle movement that Schindler thought was among the richest and most deeply sensitive inspirations of Beethoven's muse. The finale erupts almost spontaneously. The sonata begins with a vivacious allegro con brio. And here to play it are cellist Sol Gabetta and pianist Lauma Skrida. Thank you.